it's somewhere in the middle, because a Shevet has a king on its own. Klaisel is called Yehuda. It has more of a Metzias. You see that when Yaakov asked his children on his deathbed, he said Shema Yesh Belibchem, and they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Ken Hashem Echad. They were mechadish something to him. In other words, they were saying that even though we look like 12 separate brothers, and we didn't seem to be together, but we are Echad Becholzes. So you're right, it becomes because of the Shayosh of Yaakov, but its Gili is with 12 very different people who have the ability to exclude one out, are together. So certainly the first level of Gili is, the Tachlis is one, and ultimately the Shayosh, the whole Bria is coming to one Shayosh. But the Seder of Gili is, it starts by a common Tachlis, and then we're Megala the Shayosh also.
And yes. Just to bother me in the Rambam, why does the Rambam talk about minhag?
So they speak about it. The word minhag, it doesn't. The word minhag in halacha in these yonim means, it doesn't mean minhag the way we talk about it. Okay. It's the noyik isa, like this person, like isa, like that person. It means the psak, it's interchangeable with psak. They speak about the shayla of like this godim and hugim. It's a big shayla in Paiska, as we'd expect, and they go back and forth on it. The word minhag as used over here, mokem shenago iser, lo nago iser, it's not the same minhag as what we say.
I understand, but l'chayra the yisayid is the same in psak in din.
The word nohag means to paskel maisa. There's no chiyuv for tuba dinim to paskel alike. That's not an issa like this guy. Just like Zaka Mamre. A Zaka Mamre can say, Rabbi Isai, they don't know pshat in the Rambam. What he's not allowed to do is, now there'll be no hag or teach people to know. No, it means to do it lemaisa.
Paskel for someone else.
Yes. Paskel lemaisa, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So, if, I guess, Achdus is more important than the whatever goal was there for the creating of the separate organization. Is that even when it's b'dievet to stay status quo and it's l'chachila to go, let's say it's more of mahudr to do something, a separate, a good, they felt that it's a better minion, it's a better nosuch, it's a better, I mean, part of that svara is that it's something better about it.
Right.
It's even more important to override a more mahudr mahalach for the sake of Darkei Shalom.
I would say that question is Shnei Batidinim, Bir Hachas. There are different approaches. To be honest, in other words, there was an approach in Klai Yisrael, a killer type approach.
Right.
Like in Germany, like in Hungary, Vishaitai, where it was very strongly seen as the integrity of killer supersedes everything. The yeshivas and the chassidish movements felt differently, and with a naked eye, historically, each one has miles of personas. I don't know. I mean, they would go all of this, go that way, and I don't know. What to tell you.
Was that a machlokes between Rav Baron and Rav Blazer Silver?
I don't know. I don't have written material. I don't know. But Rav Aaron certainly represented the yeshiva world's musagim of a yeshiva being now the core mahus of Klal Yisrael, that without being able to produce yeshivas, you're not going to be able to you won't have kehilas either. That was the feeling.
It was like a sense of b'dievet, like now after the war, and
it was in Europe. What happened, people make a mistake. There were yeshivas before Volozhin also. Every Rav, if you go through this, every Rav in the community, part of his
some
perks was a yeshiva. And this community is going to hold 10 bucks. This community is going to hold 20 bucks. But the yeshivas were always seen as being an ancillary part of a kehillah. Like, you have the Chevra Kadisha, you have the mikveh committee, you have dayanim, you have a yeshiva. It's a... If Volozhin was a yeshiva in Saratsma, it had nothing to do with Volozhin Betzim. Volozhin was a host. It was a yeshiva that covered Europe, and it was a makom that created its own mitzvahs and own mahus. If you look at, I was reading this, memoirs of Hungarian Rav, And you read about it, you're just stunned by how different it was. Shabbos morning, the yeshiva, especially if there was a good chazan in the shul, the yeshiva would daven early so that the bachur can go hear the chazan and partake in the kiddush in the shul. Today we throw a bachur out for that. If a bachur would decide to you know, figuratively, but you're meant to. It was different. It was different models, and with the naked eye, there's milas and milas. But the yeshiva world, and even Kloli, was trying to mefkia and save Klaisol because the kehillas were being dominated more and more by non from people, and it wasn't shyach to go and to make changes. The grip of the rav on kehilla was becoming less and less, and the mele, there were contentious different times in a town that had a yeshiva and a rav. Should it be one at Grodna? Reb Shimon Shkop was a rav in Grodna. Tells was tells a rav. In other yeshivas, it wasn't even Havamina. In Radin, Reb Avtali was not the rav of the town. It was no shaykes. Each one different mindless. It was.
Would you say maybe it's like a part of the Golis factor?
It's certainly anything that way the pieces don't work together is Golis. That's correct. Yeah, that's the piece of Klaisol is. That the pieces don't fit together, and we don't have a good model for fitting together. That's a part of what we suffer. Yes, sir, please. Right. If it's temporary, if it's always, let's say, if I take two groups and I divide them. In a way, every time it's different. So then it doesn't form. But if you take, okay, these are the smart guys, these are the stupid guys. That's not a very smart way to deal with it. It takes a lot of chachma. The balance between competitiveness, which will bring out the best in some Talmidim, to destroying other Talmidim is always tough. And that's part of what a Rebbe has to be. He has to be able to inject enough. I want to tell you something, a Maisa Rav. My brother-in-law, Rav Nosson Tzvi Zichrono Livracha, had two midas in terms of chinuch. One was encouraging people, and one was pushing people. And, drive. Somebody gave, he won end of his man, like it was probably in Ibayar, a few years ago. He got up and he said, I want to make a miftza, I want to make something to strengthen the yeshiva. From now until the end of this month, if people do X, Y, and Z, I don't keep the starim and the davening, whatever it is, that they will get a certain amount of money. Now, the more people will keep it, the more each one will get money. It'll be 250 shekel a piece if X amount of people keep it, 500 if Y, and 1,000 if Z does do it. Now, that's a way that is encouraging you to do well. And to bring somebody else. The problem with it is only the money. The issue with that is that your losses become exponential. Like, the Gevaldik Islamis Achdus means that instead of paying 100 people 250 shekel, you're paying 1,000 people 1,000 shekel. Your losses multiply.
That's the rugged joke.
What?
That's the rugged
joke. But Lemaisa, that's where Chesed and Emes come together. That's an extraordinary perspective, but it takes the ability to. And he didn't have the money in his pocket. He was anticipating coming to Olin and getting the money. That's what he was anticipating. Yes,
question. We teach exclusivity of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
Right? Or of our particular Mahalakim
right.
In their different schools.
Yes.
Isn't it also always by definition exclusionary? And I don't know if kids have the ability, maybe at a certain age, that they're going to just automatically look at the other as being worse. So I guess it's that balance that I'm just wondering if you can speak to in terms of trying to pump up whatever it is from out of the school or just sounding an idiot with and yet at the same time understanding that comes with that painful understanding that the other is worse.
If you pronounce that, the emes lamito is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the entire world, every single nefesh in the world, to become a tukin. The way in which it could happen after the chet is only if somebody is taken as an example who shows a certain level of perfection, and that's able to drag other people with them. So I need to inculcate in a child both. You are better than the other person because you've been taught what to do, and you can do it, and you should do it. And when the other person sees the example, he will follow along, and he'll be just as good. It's not easy. Kids are kids, and kids tend kids don't tread a fine line, if you know. The balance is not a young man's strong point. So kids will either, exclude everyone out, or become like everybody else. You know, a child either wants to be like everybody, or has it in for everybody. But the message has to be both. We have to actively misoilam. We have to separate ourselves from them, not get schlepped along in their world. And on the other hand, the tachlis of what we're doing is because these are people, these are humans, these are neshamas, these are and it's not easy. It's very interesting. Just being machinuch, I had a dilemma. In the school, they gave me a book to read to see if it's fit for kids. All Quiet on the Western Front. Now, I read through it. A parent had complained about it. So, there's some coarse language there. Soldiers are not Netora. I can't expect the language to be fantastic. What? Yes, so, but what I felt was very important, the point of the book is, people talk about the war. We're going to go into there, especially any type of jingoist language. Oh, we're going to take over this. To understand the horror of war is very important for a child. People kill, people butchered, people's lives destroyed, homes destroyed, towns destroyed. That whole thing. People need to develop some sensitivity, and it's tough. It's a child needs to know. If you take a look in Ali Shur,
so the book did it or didn't do it?
I felt that's a positive value of the book, but on the other hand, the book is also coarse. It's soldiers. It's not as bad as could be, the language's not recommended for yeshiva bacher. Right. So, but on the other hand, there was a value in it.
So what was your judgment?
What?
That's all the time we have.
It's school property. We I can't give that out. That's
what your judgment be for a private parent?
It depends on the child. If a child doesn't come across this language in normal, this is not his world, then he shouldn't. If he hears this, if this is the type of language that the family has on TV, then I think that's my sense about it.
You thought it was coarse in today's world?
In my world, let's put it say, it's not. If a kid would use some of those words,
I just gave myself the answer.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just a little louder, please. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're approaching it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You don't have to convince somebody that. Make a lot of money because you don't want to be poor. You don't have to do that. People understand the value of money.
Right.
The person himself understands the value of what he's giving over. He's able to give that over to the children also. You don't have to talk about, don't be like them. You have to give over to them how great it is. How great it is, the prayer we have that we're learning, how great it is to be here, what kind of life we have. And if you really believe that yourself, you'll be able to give that over. So the main avodah is really on the mechanic himself to be able to feel that way strong enough that he can get over that feeling.
But there are things. It says oyev Hashem
sinura. You don't have to talk so much about.
I understand
how bad they are.
It's true. That's true in the big picture. But let's take an example. Something. Let's say sports games. Let's say sports games and so on. So, on the one hand. You have to build a mashicha. And again, my personal feelings, I think the feelings of anybody who's a vegetarian is, physical activity for yourself is very positive. Younger children especially need a lot of physical activity, and it's very positive. Spectator sports is a priestess. What? Priestess. It's a degrading that I should watch 40-year-old men in underwear running, kicking a ball, and involving myself. I listen to the radio sometimes, to the news or whatever it is, and a grown-up person is doing he probably has a doctorate in sport analysis. So they traded this prayer, there's this prayer, and there's that. It's the Dvarim Shel Hevel. It's a Malchus of Hevel. And the question is, it's part of the Reina Shkafa that a child understand before we decide to accept or reject. A person, a Ben Torah, should be looking at sports and saying, and I'm talking about the sports industry, not about physical activity and stuff like that. He should say, oh my gosh, it's a world of nonsense, has no value, no meaning. It's the biggest drain of resources for nothingness. No chachma. It's not like science, which is a chachma. We call chachma chitzenis, but it's chachma. It's part of Kachrov's Bria. Philosophy is chachma. But sports, which commands the big, I mean, this is where our resources go to, is hevel. And I think, and again, it's very hard because a child is always at extremes. So the child that they do give too much of that message will go around tearing up all the magazines he finds on sports and this and that. There's a problem with balance. You're right. The main akuda should be an avos ha'Torah. But I think the right hashkafa is, what do we look at? Someone told me he was in Lakewood when Babe Ruth died. Yeah. And Reb Nosson said a shmooze. A hespit on Babe Ruth. And he said, you know, he was American, Reb Nosson, and he understood the tsar that Oilam was going through. And he said, Rabbi Isai, he says, we're missing such a person. He could take a klutz of wood and bang a ball further than the other person. Imagine a world without him. You know, and he wanted to give up a little bit the sense of the absurdity of it. So you want to be able to teach kids to look at things. You know, there's a saying, and it's they say it over from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think that a person is given two eyes. In Yiddish, it rings. A rechte eig means a right eye, and it means positive. A linke eig means left, and also means negative. Was du das sagen, was man darf gucken mit der rechten eig, was du sagen, was man darf gucken mit der linken eig. It is important that a kid should understand why it is that we have such a horror for that. Why the word celebrity?
100%.
Yes.
Just 100%.
That's the healthy perspective.
This is no good, so therefore, tell me what I'm going.
100%. I agree. 100%. The basis, the yisayid mishayir, should be what's good. But there isn't.
You're saying if you're coached like that, you wouldn't really have such a problem of saying, "Goyim are no good." You won't have such a problem.
Correct. But I need to. You're right. I don't have to speak about the goy. Right. But I also need to keep. Even let's say a kid is not learning. Notice if I speak about how good learning is, that's great. A kid has off time. The desire to direct him towards creative activities. I need to say this has value and this has no value. So I'm going to be making some statements. I don't think I disagree with you. I think I agree with you. Yes.
Doesn't a kid need a sense of self, a sense of belonging? Doesn't he need that? I don't want to use the word click because that might be negative. Doesn't he need that sense of I'm a part of, whether it's Klal Yisrael, or I'm a part of Aguda, or I'm a part of Mizrahi, or I'm a part of the Turei Karta? It doesn't matter what I'm a part of, but he needs to feel a sense of belonging,
a larger sense of self.
Well, no, there it doesn't. When you made the minyan Klal Yisrael, you had Beis Av and Mishpachas and Shvatim. You did have Shvatim, you did have Mishpachas. But he always needs to understand it within a context. There's I saw a maisa from the Rav. I think that's first hand. One of his children made some nasty remark to a Chassidish kid about his rebbe or something like that. And the Rav gave him a big smack. And he told him, you never make fun of someone's Rebbe. In other words, it wasn't that the Rav didn't have his opinions. But for him, if this is his Rebbe, this is his Ezra Mahalach, you know, as long as it's part of that, it's a balance. The kid needs to feel, I'm this, and I'm proud of being this. And Meidach Gisa, it's only part of the bigger picture. And again, children are very hard because they tend to go to one extreme or the other extreme. But you're right, and that's why you have subdivisions. In yeshivas, the big yeshivas, you have a vat. In other words, heavy yeshivas have 1,000 bucks. You have vat aleph, vat beis, vat gimel. This year, it's important to balance both. It's just like everybody has an identity as Ben Shevet. Everybody has an identity of a big Agudah of Klal Yisrael. Yes.
High school kids these days, maybe even adults, you've been very, you have certain American values that go very deeply.
Yeah.
I had a kid come to me and say, if you have a Jewish neighbor who's a wonderful person and a giving person and a loving person and he lives a life, a moral life, and you have a Yid who's steals from other people and is a rotten businessman,
right,
and both of them are drowning, so why is it that you're telling me you should save the children? How would you answer that question?
Very simple. I'm not that simple, but I would say, if you had a brother that was rotten and bad, and there's a certain chiyuv, you know, it's Klal Yisrael has a bris together, and we need to understand that. So just like family has, there's a very strong sense of that, and a chiyuv of that.
It's not a value judgment.
Exactly. I'm just saying that we're all part. And the Rambam says this about many halachas. He speaks much about ribbis and so on. It's not that we're acting bad to Yom Yisraelim, but there are certain things, like family comes first. And just like your brother, no matter how rotten he is, you know, people, the loyal lane, God forbid, somebody has a family member who gets in trouble with the law, you expect you to give him, you should help him, you know, obviously go good also, but that's the mahalach, I think.
And what about saving the boy on Shabbos?
So, it's not an easy point to, I mean, the way to go about it would be, I think, Lemaise, it's possible always to do it with a shinui and make it a rabbanan. It was clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Shabbos Be'etzim has a habmini gemara that you can't be mahal Shabbos. It's only one of the svaros of gemara is, you know, Yishma Habe Shabbos. So for an Umas Olam we would do it with a shinui in a way that Shabbos has a certain chumrin in it, like almost like the gimel aveis. So that would be my answer. It's a tough one. It's not easy because, you know, like you said, it goes on very, you know, deeply ingrained sensitivities. But that's what I usually answer.
If you had a Ben Noah, if you had a choice to save a Yid or a Ben Noah,
I haven't learned the Ben Noah Shachar. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that. I don't have any sense of that.
We have a Gemara like that. It says, the guy who mazik the yid shor, he doesn't pay. So
that's a special hafka. It says amad vayate. It's a special. It's a special din of hafka on that type of onus. Yes. I don't know.
There's no
mile
to save the
yid. And Bitur's ben Noach. Does he have a commonness with other ben Noach in a way that I don't know. I don't have a mucker. What can I tell you? I just yes. Yeah.
So. Even something that we know is, in essence, a davar shtos, like professional sports.
Yes.
But if it's chashiv to students or a student, is it appropriate to use that as something to abstract from it something that is of value, such as teamwork or striving for excellence, especially a kid who doesn't care about, you know, you have to work it, to use it as a dimyun, a sushtov, that just like they're working to be excelling in their, you know, physical gifts, you have intellectual or spiritual gifts, you have this. Can you use something that intrinsically is ridiculous, but still has something to teach from?
There is nothing more ridiculous than speaking about Eini Hashem and Yad Hashem, and yet we do it because that's the only way we can understand. That's our only muscle. For a kid, for you know, today if you use a muscle of a king, I always tell people, a muscle with a king today doesn't fall flat,
right?
Because the only kings we know are nutcases or you know, are wasted.
Yeah.
So you have to struggle, and to me, like a muscle, you're going for your first job interview is usually the most frightening thing that'll happen to a kid in the world that I, you know, the world we know. Listen, if that's what the kids are holding, yes, you need to do that. None is halach. This is a chachma, how to guide a person to go from step to step to step. I remember in camps, I went to summer camps, Aguda, Kolrina, you know, the from the summer camps, in those days, there was even the from camps, there was a lot less learning. An hour and a half learning was a super from camp. And much sports activities and civil activities and stuff like that. And we gained tremendously in ruchnis from it. We weren't in the city, the environment was from, it was a tremendous thing. I heard that Shlomo Shadan speaking once, and he knocked the camps. And it bothered me. You know, and I was a kid still at the time. I was a high school kid, and I had gotten so much from the camps. A lot of my own aliyah was from the camps. And then he knocked it, you know, he made fun of me. He said he went to camp. He says, it's Ahashalti. You know, there's a circle. Everybody say Ahashalti. Next. And then he goes, so it bothered me because I thought it was very not fair. After I went to Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael and I realized that you could be sitting on Dalet Ov and learning the same, you know, with the same, I realized where he's coming from, but I didn't think that, you know, where I was, camp was the best thing. So each kafir, that's part of being mechanech, to understand where you want to get to and where the kid's at, and you have to, you know, it's definitely useful.
If the kids come into class and they're excited that the chavis, their team won last night, you don't have to come in and say, you know, just to knock it down. And they're so, you know, that's not a...
100%. The kid has to, if the kid starts maturing, and you also have to take into account, there's another point I think that's very important in these areas. Nobody likes to be knocked personally. If a kid is into sports, and you tell him sports is shtusen vavolin, there's an unwritten part of the sentence, and you must be shtusen havel also for interest right. You. Very few people that I know take kindly to Musa. But what you can do is, if you say, you know, I used to be thrilled with the games, and in a slow process, I started learning more. I began to realize that, you know, it really doesn't have anything to do with it, and I slowly got out of it. If the kid understands that you were there, and the kid understands the slow process, and as you will grow in learning, this will become less important, and so on and so forth, that's appropriate. You know, it's something that you need, like the Rambam says, that you know, first you give him candies, then you give him this and this, and if he's ready for it, you begin to speak to him about the Shema. You start with the child where he is, and you guide him further. Yes, 100%. Yeah. I'll tell you the last time I saw Hashem batting a home run, I don't know. Yes.
I know a lot of older saints, and when you see the pain that they're suffering,
right.
To what extent do you trust them? And how right are you to tell them, sort of like a hashgacha question, but like, how right am I to tell, let's say, even my own kids, like, when the time is right, it will for sure happen, and then, let's say, a child will turn to you and say, but there's a shidduch crisis. Is there not such a thing as a shidduch crisis? So how can you tell me it's going to happen to me exactly when it needs to happen to me? There's like a whole problem out there. Is it larger than me? Like, how do you try to find a way to give a nechama and encourage, and at the same time recognize that
it's not only shidduchim, and what about parnasa? Many people have parnasa, many people don't. There are many people have jobs. Most people are working. Some people just can't seem to find a job. It's the same, you know. I think on the one hand, it's not so much a flat assurance as much as understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different situations with different people. And the fact that it's tough doesn't mean that it's going to be impossible. Some people get married much later, and Baruch Hashem, they have wonderful families. But you need to give the person a picture that fits reality, which means it's not easy, but you see that each individual shidduch is usually a very clearly perceived in terms of hashgacha, and of all the events in our lives, shidduchim is something that we find the most hashgacha. A job, say the person took accounting, you got a job, this from that from, we don't perceive it, and that's the only way to Nachum it is that there's, you know, you see that with the crisis, the vast majority of class will find the zivuk, and some earlier, some later, some more difficult, some easier. It's like everything else.
Why are you being so kind?
Why are you being so kind?
Because
I think 9 days I have a weakness. Yeah.
If part of the fault lies within the person who makes agudas and says, I won't marry that one, and I won't marry this one, and I won't marry that.
You know what? I think it's a nice thing to
lay the blame partially where it is.
I have yet to find a person that takes kindly to personal Muslim. He takes kindness to personal Muslim when it's somebody else's the person. So when a person is talking from the front, and nobody in the audience sees itself as the intended target, it's a time to speak very stridently. But very few people think that they're being too picky and too choosy and so on and so forth. It's as if you're saying, well, nobody says about my wife, you know, I wasn't very picky, I picked up the first thing I found, and I made do. That's not good, everybody says my wife is haste, the best of the best. So you want me to take a C-minus wife, and you're tiny, you have an A-plus wife, my high. And I've been turned down with plenty of girls, why don't you tell them the schmooze? You need to find a place that fits with the principle. A person who's been going out for a while and not married is a very hurt person. It's difficult. You've been rejected. You've been given shidduchim that you feel like ain't al pichvaitcha. What you need to do is find a way and say, you know, you need to sit back and think. Things that seem to make a difference now don't make a difference. You see many people, you know, as they have to come back. You have to find a way to tell a person you should make do, you know, with something. Tell me, what's a kala like? He said, you know, it's hard to answer questions, it's very subjective. I particularly don't care for her, but other people say she's very nice. it's not a mahalach that sits well with somebody, and it's not going to go well with somebody. You need to give the person you need to help find the person to find a way in which he does the right things, but he's proud with it and happy with it. And you can say, you know, once when you meet a person, you can only see a certain amount of it. A person has these capabilities, they turn it down. I know it's very, very important. It's because people are hurt, and it's difficult. And
I can name, in one sentence, five people right now. I went out with a girl, landed saying no, landed marrying them. Because 5 years later, they realized that,
So what you need to tell the person is, you know, a lot of times you have one or two, we paint a certain picture that's unrealistic. I don't know, yes, you need to invest time and effort to help people, but it's a very sensitive topic. And blessing it is not going to, yes?
Share with the Chashua at the beginning, you remind me that a couple more times a summer, the firmer the school, the firmer the kids, the wilder they are, the more frustrated they are. Schwartz said in response that we need to address it. How correct the perception is I don't know, I'm just wondering where we could speak to a little bit to that perception or whatever.
So I can't speak to that. I don't know. I'm not there in those schools. It's definitely a perception that people have. One of the issues, and I think Rav Soloveitchik, I once heard a tape where he knocked New York. He said, New York is a very interesting place. He says, it's a zoo where every animal has its own house. Like, you know, that type. He said, and then he said, when you live amongst your own, you become a sect. There's a certain level of civility that a child incurs by living with others. You know, one of the things why out of town is so different is because a kid is surrounded by people other than himself. He has to say hello, he has to say excuse me, he has to say things like that. It's something where it forces a certain level of menschlichkeit, you know, because of life like that. When you're together with everybody, it's only like you. So it's like a dorm situation. There's no need to it's wrong, because that heritage should be coming from Torah. It should be coming from it should be taught. For a long time, I'm thinking back when I was growing up, so we had a double message. The English department, I went to RJJ, old RJ, Madura Kama, which was, Katman, yeah. It was a school that had an English department that ran itself, and it had a limited Kurdish department ran itself. And there was nothing in common. The English teachers tried to make us fry. The Hebrew teachers, I'm serious. You know, some of the teachers bizarre, some of the teachers not, but it was a very, but it was like this. The typical school taught you that if you brush your teeth, say hello, hold the door open, you're the best type of human being. Religion is kind of a nice addition. It's like, you know, it's the small piece in a big puzzle, and that's left for the individual. The Torah came along with a certain hafkah, that all of this is meaningless and empty unless it comes from Torah. And Mishpat comes from Torah song, which is inherently a correct message. But it wasn't the pshat that the Rebbe said, kids, let's say good morning, kids, let's do this, do that. It was rather, they forgot to put that piece in. So your oikar is certain, so you don't have any more mispamet, my third grade teacher, who teaches you, you must say good morning, you must say hello, you must say this. You don't have that. It's kind of, you know, and it's a problem. It's missing. It's
why would you look at all the rebellion in these schools, and they're not the kind of...
Reb Shalom Shadron brings in his Akdoma, Reb Shalom Shadron, I think it was in his Akdoma to Yohelan. He put it, or Reb Leib Chasm was his Rebbe. And he writes a very powerful story. He said he once came into Reb Leib. He was a Yerushalmi Bacha, some from a semi-chsidish shtar, maybe some Rasham, but the Yerushalmi did, and he was learning a Chavin Yeshiva. And Reb Leib Chasman, he came into him, he was sitting, and Reb Leib asked him for a glass of water. So he runs to get a glass of water, Reb Leib runs ahead of him, and stands in front of him, and says, Wo gehst du, vavos gehst du? Where are you going, why? He says, Bring dem Rebbe a glass Wasser. I want to bring the Rebbe. He says, Und als eine alte Kranke hit will a glass Wasser, das gone it? Like, what do you mean the Rebbe wants it? Like, he wanted it, he saw in him that he had the Yerushalayim Mechinuch, or the Chassidish Mechinuch, that whatever the Rebbe wants is Kodesh Kodashim, but the idea that an elderly sick man needs something wasn't there. And he writes it that was a Chinuch Reb Leib felt he needed, and he gave it. It's missing, it is missing. And I know it's something that should be, that Chavetz was always part of the, I once heard,
it's yeah. Independently, we should say good morning to
everyone. Can anyone think of a Rebbe in a from yeshiva that has spoken at all to kids? And when you see an older person, you say hello, you say good morning, you say this. I don't know. We have a mixed crowd here of different vein. I don't think how much time has been spent on elementary derech eretz. You know, I don't know. I once heard from, there's a Yid in Geula, I don't know if he's still around, his name was Greenwald. He has a store called All Plus. I know his son is there, I don't know if he's still. He was a war refugee, and I used to smooth with him. He learned in Pupa Yeshiva. And Pupa Rav's yeshiva was very, very, he was famous and popular. And the Kochim would sleep in stances by people. So someone offered him money to build a dormitory. And the Puparov turned him down. And he asked, why? He said, a bucha is nishke mensch. A bucha is not a mensch. He stays with a family, he has to brush his, polish his shoes, he has to make sure his kapata is straight. He says good morning, he says good evening, he gets a dvar Torah, he gets something. He says, take all those bucha and put them together, you get a churban, he said. Where are they going to learn to be mensch? It's an element that's missing, and we should be filling it in. We as Rebbeim should be filling it in. What's their cheretz? What's not their cheretz? I mean, I'm a ghost in yeshiva by us. At a bacha can come back and not say hello to a Rosh Yeshiva. I mean, it wasn't so much. I mean, I'm there physically, so he walks into me. But Rebbeim was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. But he didn't entertain the idea that he has to say, I would like Rishus, I'm leaving. Not only the laws in Yeshiva, but Rishus Nichnas, Rishus Yatza. The idea that you greet, that you walk over to say hello to the Morid Asher. All of those things, that you don't walk out when somebody's speaking. That if the Rav of the Shul gets up to learn 5 minutes, it's unless it's Pikuach Nefesh, you sit there. And if somebody started speaking, even if it's not the Rav, you don't just walk out in the Drasha. It's black and red. You know, and these are very nice kids. These are kids that I don't, you know, they're not bad, they're not mean. and that I'm so yeshivish. And they don't, you know, it's something that's missing in the elementary protocol. What? Yes, yes, it's a problem. There's no.
There are also, I know some from there are times that the Rav is speaking, and that there are people that are sitting and learning on the Masechta Tehillim.
That certainly is that's a horrendous statement. I don't begin to understand it. In simple Derech Eretz, if I'm sitting at a place and somebody's speaking at a shop, if I need to leave, I will try to leave Begavra Legavra. But if somebody gets up, even if it's some person, the statement of walking out on somebody is a very, very harsh statement. And there's certainly when it's a rabba, whatever. Yes.
I don't want to make anyone feel better, but there's just as much lack of Derech Eretz in more modern schools as.
Baruch Hashem, we're a good achas.
I don't
want
to dispel it.
This is from which school?
From
the Yad. Baruch Hashem? There are other. We have a lady by us, Mrs. Landesman. She should live and be well. A wonderful Isha Gdoyla Bakshuva Admoyed. She and her husband are instrumental in building yeshiva. She's an extraordinary person. And as Bas Torah, to a very Torah family of all the years. She gives tours in Washington as part of the, that's the paras of hers. And she told me many years ago she no longer takes New York schools on tours. She said, it's like everything is flaked. Like it'll say a sign someplace, this is the memorial site, no eating. They'll eat. And the tour guide will be talking. They'll be talking. The teachers, she said, she said she doesn't know where to hide herself. She's not, she's a bastard. She's a minute.
Like
what?
The whole New York is like that.
So we need to teach it. Whatever it is, listen, we can only do what we can do. And we need to teach Derech Eretz. It should come from Torah. We need to teach Ve'ele Mishpatim as a Hemshech of Yisrael. It's not enough to knock out the other person's Mishpatim. You need to teach it. And yes, it's 100% right. Yes.
Us against them,
right?
Very, very stark.
Us against them, where?
That's what I noticed. I mean, if you're speaking, but very much us, which I guess in a way it says in my little help, it helps preserve. It has a very broad interruption. The shot is that everything is, could that be something that's very dangerous to that,
I want to tell you a maisa. It's a beautiful maisa. It's an extraordinary maisa of a gadol. Take me a minute or two. I'm like off tangent, but this is about, he asked about Chassidim having their own sense of clickishness. I used to have a Rebbe, Rav Zeil Epstein Zichrono Livracha, who was an Adam Gadol Admoed. I remember he had the tears towards Chassidus, even though he came from Grodno and so on. He liked a lot of the, but there was a word that he once, like, Anash, like, Anash, Klal Yisrael, what Anash. But there's a Maisa, this. This I saw printed from Yehuda Leib Levine. Anash is a Chassidish language. It's an acronym for Anshe Shlomeinu, Unzere. And sometimes it's a positive thing because Chassidim were nirdaf. People were out to get them. So Anash meant the people that are willing. It also means our clique. Anash, is he Anash or not? Is he from Unzere? There was a big machloikas in Chassidus. One of the great machloikas in the Chassidus was between Kotzk and Ishbitz. The Kotzk Rebbe was very sharp, very demanding, no quarter. If it's not 100% emes, it's 100% sheker. Chassidim started, and he kept turning the screws, demanding more and more, until finally two of his talmidim felt, this is not what Chassidus meant, and you can't live like that. Like someone said, the operation will succeed, but the patients will all die. Long before they attain emes, they're all going to die because it's impossible. And they broke away. And for a chassid to break away from a rebbe, it's mamish. It's like turning the back against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Ishbitzer made his own akafis in the Kotzker's lifetime. The Kotzker was devastated by it. He withdrew. It created a tremendous machlokas. Like all machlokas, every tzad has its chassidim, and you know, and there was a sharp machlokas. There was once two shutfit. So the Ishbitzer, the Kotzker was a fiery emes. The Ishbitzer was he was the Meir Shaleach. Yes, and he said that he. It says that it flows slowly. It's a pasuk that like just like the Meir Shaleach that flows slowly, glassen, easier. Not that type of mouth. There were once two business partners. One was a Kotzker chassid. One was the Ishbitzer chassid. And you know, business is business. Money always keeps people together, even if they're from different makars. And the business started failing. And started going downhill, and the Ishbitzer Chassid started getting sick over it, and he got a heart attack, and he was deathly sick. He calls in his partner and he says, "You know, we've been shutting for so many years. We've had a tremendous. I need a favor for you, a very big favor. Push it, something to for a friend on deathbed." He said, "Sure," because I want you to go to my rebbe and ask for a bracha for me. To the Ishbitzer, and ask for a bracha. Kids, you know, to walk into such a treifa place. On the other hand, should because Machriach will go for him. So he walks into the Ishbitzer and he says, "Hakdama." He says, "I'm a Kotzker chassid, b'lev nefesh. I think what you did is despicable, and I'm sure my friend won't have anything to do with it. But you know, a matzev with my closest friend and a shut to ask this. I'm coming as a shliach for him to Yeshua Bracha." So the Rebbe thinks and he says to him, "If I do a moifis, and he'll be get better, and the business will pick up, will you turn around?" So he said, "Moifis can be done with klipas. It's not nothing." He said, "And if I'll show you that the moifis comes from a mokum kaddish, will you turn around or not?" So he told him, "Truth, that you kinda with your blood and your sweat, you don't trade in for all the moifis in the world." So the Ishbitzer thought a minute and he said, "If you maftiach me that you'll always will remain such a dedicated Kotzker chassid, I'll give a bracha that the shutter get better and the business pick up." It's a fascinating maisa. I mean, it's a fascinating, and it's from somebody who lived it. His brother was the Eidim by the Ger Rebbe. It means the story is a hype story. It's something that's it takes a lot of godless to be able to have. To understand, this is an emes, and you know it's not me, and it's you know I hold like Shannon Hillel, to be able to say your kids are psul yuchsin, but your daya is an important daya, is you know love kol mecha sovel dots. It's a very hard balance, but that's godless to be able to be oimed on emes and yet to understand this is what I hold. This is my psak. And I'm defended to the last drop of my blood. But Torah was given to everyone to pass in who's a Baharon, and I have to do that also.
Shiloh, what I think they're asking is, you're right, the mice, to be able to do that, you have to marry the person.
Yeah.
Now there are small people. Okay? And we're going to err to one side or to the other. Which side do you err to? That's the question that they're asking.
It really depends on each case. I can't say a day. I told somebody once, I like to mention a name of a place. There was a bacher, a younger bacher, very bright bachishan, who went to a certain yeshiva in Yerushalayim, that their motto is emes. And part of it is to sort of chisel away everything else that is lacking in emes, which is about everything else. And we used to have, this person is my brother's brother-in-law, we used to have a lot of spirited discussions. And he once said, "Yeah, you know," he said, "all the musa and the bala musa with the chesed stuff, it's all full of it. It's all phony. It's not really, really emes." So I told him, "Listen, there were two drachm in Klal Yisrael. One was chesed, one was emes." It says by Aaron and Moshe, chesed emes lefgashu, noshku gam yachto. I said, and both are mudei oilo. Both of them are, you can't say one is more or less, you know, they both are mudei oilo. said Daf Kemin is like this. If you do a chesed, even if there's many negiyas and other cheshbainas, still a chesed. If you knock somebody and it's not 100% emes, then it's 100% vicious. Then all of it is achzaris. The emes doesn't come mixed. I said it's a very dangerous mahalach. It's only saveful people that are perfect themselves. So doing favors for other people, even if it's not perfect, you still help somebody. It's still good. It's still a good piece to you. I mean, knocking somebody when it's not 100%, then it's your mufra. So I told him it's a very dangerous mahalach. It's a good mahalach, but you got to be a chad bedor to be there. That's the.
I'm not sure what he answered
that. He's actually become a very nice person. I don't know if he just got older. He was at that time was 19. I mean, very sharp, very bright. He's actually a big ball player today. So I guess either age undid him, or it either matured him, or okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, sure.